Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd. Dave, thanks for coming on the show last week. I'll just plug myself one more time. We're in 4-7 on 970 AM ESPN in Pittsburgh. I'll also be on ESPN Hawaii at 9:35 tonight. I got this shot once last year, and the Pirates, I think, lost their next 10 games, so hopefully I don't have any bad luck with that.
Those guys are good. Are you going to be on with the sports animals?
Let me double check.
I think you are. I think that's their time slot and all like that. And Gary, one of those guys is a big Pittsburgh fan, so you should have some fun with those guys if it's the guys that I think it is. I think it's just
Alan Meyer. Oh, it is.
Oh no, she's the contact person.
Okay, well there. Okay, then I guess I am. So you and I are their Pittsburgh go-to guys. Good to know.
Yeah, they're good guys. You'll enjoy that.
And you're going to be on the show with me, so Thursday, so we'll have another podcast up Friday, but Dave will be joining me Thursday, probably about the same time as last time, maybe around 5:20, but we'll sort that out and make sure we tweet that out. But let's get to football talk. We've talked about it. You're giving us a daily countdown. I think we got 15 days to go till camp opens. It's July 25th in La Trobe, another week or two till preseason, and about 60 days till the Steelers open in Denver. So it is moving fast. And, now everything's getting organized and people are getting ready to get it started again.
Absolutely. 15 days until the report. That's not the first practice, though. 29 days, I think, until the first preseason game, 61 until Denver time. So, we're doing some stuff on SteelersDepot.com. I guess we could probably start off with I posted about the potential free agents every year before camp gets started. I kind of take a preliminary look at players that might be who are scheduled to be in free agency in the final year of their contract. And, you know, some of the names real quick we'll cover. Of course, Mike Wallace, his status is really in limbo. We don't know if he's going to be restricted, unrestricted, signed to a long-term deal. So really, you know, that's up in the air. You know, I think both of us agree, even though he might come into camp late this year, I think a long-term deal gets reached if he holds out.
I've been on the record of saying that doesn't happen, so I'm going to keep to that view. Okay. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Well, even if he has to sign his tender at some point to get those six games in to get his accrued season.
I think he'll be playing week one. I just don't think they're going to get a long-term deal done.
Okay, well, if they don't, he gets his accrued season, then he would be an unrestricted free agent. The Steelers still have the franchise tag at their, at their discretion. Whether or not they would use that at that point, that's for another podcast, I think, after we get to that point. But definitely a name to watch and has been all offseason. Rashard Mendenhall, we've talked about. This is a guy that is going to probably start on PUP this year. He's going to be unrestricted after the year ends, and with he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on him, and his age is still fine. He might be one of those guys that decides to test the free agency market. The Steelers really have been non-committal as far as past this year, as far as that goes. So he's a big name, definitely to watch.
And it'll be interesting with his status, and we've talked a little bit about the fact that Mendenhall might be in a position, depending on how quickly he recovers. Now, obviously, if he recovers quickly and he gets to play the majority of the season, then his body of work will speak for itself. If he doesn't, he's the type of guy who may be in a position where he needs to take a short-term contract to try and get that longer-term contract if he's got belief that he can be fully healthy and get it done. So he's going to have some interesting negotiating things to think about depending on how quickly he recovers.
Absolutely. He could be a guy that if he doesn't play a lot this year, could be looking at a one-year deal, somewhere either with the Steelers or around the league elsewhere, as you say, to prove himself that he's completely covered from the surgery. So, whether or not he's a Steeler next year, kind of up in the air at this point. We'll definitely be monitoring what he does this year for sure. Casey Hampton, I think we both agree that, you know, Casey's come out and said that he has no intentions of this being his last season. But, yeah, I think we agree that this will probably be his final season in Pittsburgh. The only way I could see him returning would be is if he gets no love in free agency next year and decides to come back on one of those one-year qualifying type contracts for the minimum. But, you know, with Alameda Ta'amu, the future, and with Steve McClendon going to be back next year as well, too, hard to see him returning. Larry Foote, you know, final year of his contract here, and you have to think with all the news that we're going to be getting to on Sean Spence here, how his progress goes, along with, you know, Stevenson Sylvester inside. This is probably it for Foote. A few of the other, those of course are
Yeah, and I'll just chime in on Foote. I'd be shocked if he's back next year. He's at $3 million this year. He'd have to take a big pay cut and be a guy who, as you said, maybe a qualifying offer type guy. But, yeah, unlikely, I think, to see him back.
Yeah, Greg Warren, you know, not too
– And the two quarterbacks are just – I'll say the two quarterbacks is, you know, we keep saying going into each season that it could be the last year for Charlie Batch. I'd be shocked if Batch is back again next year. But, again, the Steelers – If they don't find that guy or don't feel it's time to start grooming a guy after Ben, and it's pretty unlikely that if he stays healthy, they won't see that need. If they feel like what Leftwich is capable, then Batch could keep coming back for that $1 million number.
And it's even less than that when you look at the salary cap hit, you know, with one of those qualifying offers. That's why I wrote about Byron Leftwich, too. You know, he's still young enough where he technically, you know, one of the two very well could be back. You know, I don't think. I don't think both of them will be back, but I think there's a good chance that one of the two could be back. And Leftwich, what he needs to do is show he can make it through a preseason healthy first. Yes. Something he hasn't done the last two seasons. So, you know, it's not out of the question that one of those two could be back next year. Both of them will be unrestricted, and both of them are doubtful are going to get any attention in the free agency market. Long snapper, you know, not we don't get too many opportunities, thank God, to talk about a long snapper, but Greg Warren, good long snappers are, you know, can hang around the league forever. And, you know, with Warren, as long as he stays out of the papers for bad snaps or anything like that, you know, you have to think there's a possibility of a chance for him coming back for another year. A few of the other names here as far as unrestricted, Ramon Foster, Doug Legursky, Jonathan Scott. I'd be surprised if Jonathan Scott makes it out of training camp still myself.
Yeah, interesting group of offensive linemen there, Dave. When you talk about, you know, Scott and Foster and Legursky, yeah, Scott's job this year is up in the air. We certainly expect, if they stay healthy, Foster and Legursky to make the roster, but and we talked about maybe what a good offensive, what a good opportunity it is for some of these offensive linemen like Kelvin Beachum, the seventh round pick out of SMU, and maybe some of the free agent offensive linemen to get a year on the practice squad. And then when the price for Legursky and Foster goes up, or they, you know, approach unrestricted free agency, the Steelers may be less interest. So not only did they get the two starting offensive linemen, they may be grooming their backups here in the practice squad this year.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying that there's a definite that both Foster and Legursky be back. I guess it depends.
A betting man, you'd say yes. Though,
yeah,
right?
A betting man, you'd say yes, but Beachum also probably going to start getting some training, or has started getting some training at center. So, you know, one of the main reasons you would keep Legursky around is because of his versatility to play all three interior spots. So if that's something that Beachum can be groomed to do, well, then Legursky becomes expendable. And let's face it, Legursky's still got some years left on him and could get some attention during the free agency, period too. So it's not out of question both Foster and Legursky both return, but it's also not out of question, as you say, that you know, someone like a Beachum could be groomed to be one of those two guys. And you know, maybe Foster gets attention during the free agency market as well, too. But those are definitely some guys, at least the Steelers have them locked up this year for depth purposes. And we'll have to see how it plays out, of course, next year. But they both will be unrestricted. Keenan Lewis.
And then you got the two DBs, Lewis and Monday.
Lewis and Monday. Keenan Lewis, you know, this is an interesting situation because if Keenan has – you know, he predicts he'll have a Pro Bowl-type season, which is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Let's say he does have a great season opposite Ike Taylor there. Is this a guy that's going to be hard to re-sign because of the attention he would get on the free agent market, or is 1 year worth of work just not enough for him to command bigger money, and will the Steelers be able to retain him? So, you know, that it's kind of an interesting situation with him because he is unrestricted and everything depends on one season here in 2012. Mundy, on the other hand, doesn't expect to get it. I mean, if things go right, he's not going to get a lot of playing time this year. Bless me. Would figure he would not get a lot of playing time this year. You know, he'll see some work in some big nickel type stuff and occasionally spell either Polamalu or Ryan Clark. But I would say there's a 50-50 proposition as the Steelers try to make the move towards, bless me again, towards youth at the safety position that there is an opportunity that he will be back. Will Allen, the other safety, on the other hand, this is, if he makes it out of training camp this year on the 53-man roster, this has to be it for him, I would figure, because the Steelers are going to address the safety position in the draft next year.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of this, but yeah, I think you're right on those guys. And you know, when we get into the restricted guys, these are guys who's basically their performance this year at some level is going to determine how the Steelers with them. But Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, we look to be big, big contributors this year. Obviously, Brown coming off a Pro Bowl season, and Sanders, a guy that you and I really love. The next three guys are maybe three of the most interesting guys when we go into preseason in Jonathan Dwyer, Stevenson Sylvester, and Steve McClendon. They're all going to be fighting for playing time, all for different reasons. They have an opportunity to shine with Ferrier being gone for Sylvester, with Mendenhall being hurt for Dwyer, and with Hampton being hurt for McClendon. They all have a chance to step up and play an important role. And this year's performance is really going to dictate how the Steelers approach them at the end of the season.
Yeah, and all three, if the Steelers want them back, they should be easy to retain. Dwyer and Sylvester would more than likely get a original round tender, the low original round tender, which if a team were to sign them away, the Steelers would get the corresponding round that those two were drafted in. Sylvester, fifth round pick. Dwyer was a sixth-round pick, and usually those type guys don't get the attention there. So both those guys can easily be retained. Brown and Sanders the same way. Brown, assuming a long-term deal is not reached by the start of free agency, they could throw another first-round tender at him the way they did Mike Wallace, and I don't see him being signed away for that. Emmanuel Sanders, former third-round pick, you could put an original round tender on him and probably retain him, and if need be, even as high as maybe a second round tender, retain him. So all of the restricted guys, if the Steelers want them back, they'll be back.
Yes. Yes. And one guy who won't be back, Dave, is a guy who's just announced his retirement. And as you pointed out, the only receiver ever to throw a touchdown in the Super Bowl, Antoine Randall.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about it is, in light of he's going to be announcing his retirement, when is it here? I think the 14th, which is a few this coming weekend here. A lot of people were saying, I think it was Mark Cabali, who was a good friend of the show, good friend of mine, kind of piled on him saying, Aaron Smith didn't announce his retirement. And there's been some other runs. Well, you know, Cordell waited all this time to announce his retirement. Hey, to each their own. If a guy wants to announce his retirement, Randall L. is going to do his, evidently, at his skills training academy there at Thornton High School, his high school alma mater, during his like camp there. Everything's fun. It's not like he's asking the Steelers for any press conference time at the facility or anything like that. If that's the way he wants to announce it, fine. You know, Randall L., although, you know, only had, what did he have stats-wise? 370 receptions for nearly 4,500 yards regular season and 15 touchdowns during his pro career. You know, he played a huge role in along the way. Wasn't the best punt returner, but we'll all remember that wide receiver option pass there in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. The guy was a consummate professional, not afraid to block. Of course, went away to Washington for a few years there, and then returned his final season there in Pittsburgh for one more year. So good for him, you know. Won't go down in the record books or in the Steelers annals of being one of the all-time great Steeler receivers, but he'll always have his place.
Yeah, I think the surprising thing is when he came back to the Steelers, he had trouble with, understanding the playbook issues. And you'd think as a guy who'd been in the league a while, had been a quarterback in college, those wouldn't have been issues. So he had maybe a diminished role than many fans thought he might have the second time around. But
plus he had a little bit of knee issue there. Boy, that gimp, that final season of his was very apparent too. I mean, he wasn't the same receiver that he was years ago. I mean, I think he even had a knee scope during that preseason or offseason upon his return to Pittsburgh. Just father time finally, who was undefeated, finally hawked him down from behind.
Yeah, and Dave, I'll tell you maybe the most interesting thing we've seen come out in the past couple of days is Jim Wexel wrote an article about Sean Spence and maybe the Steelers rethinking the inside linebacker position a little bit. And it's early, and Sean Spence got a lot of good press for playing football in shorts during the OTAs and the mini camp. And, he's a little bit of an undersized guy, but a tackling machine in college and somebody who runs well. What are your thoughts?
It's not too terribly surprising based on what we've heard so far. And as Jim Wexel points out in his article this morning, that the buzz seems to be stemming from special teams coach Al Evers, who evidently has lost a little bit of Spence's time on the special teams unit because Spence has been seeing some time at that buck position. Now, of course, Stevenson Sylvester missed time during, I think it was either the final mini camp and maybe late in OTAs with some sort of issue. And, we've talked about how Stevenson Sylvester is not a roster lock right now at this point. Even Keith Butler in his comments following the selection of Spence, kind of called out Sylvester in so many words during that interview. This is a guy, we've talked about him. Can this guy end up being a Kendrell Bell in preseason this year, which just makes him, you have to have him on the field? The odds are against that happening, but, kind of judging on the article by Wexel and all the things that we've heard out of OTA and mini camps, let's not rule it out. This guy is talented, evidently a classroom junkie, a film junkie, has a firm understanding already of what's going on in the defense. So, I think you asked me on your show last week, a guy that, most interested to watch during preseason and in training camp, and Sean Spence is the guy. He is definitely the guy to pay attention to, where he lines up, as far as a Mac role or a Buck role, where he comes into the lineup, and more importantly, how he plays.
Well, and I think the key here is one of the things that, we've heard Keith Butler talk about how linebackers don't come in and start. James Ferrier said it took him a couple of years to understand all the nuances of the position. And what has really, I think, caught Steelers coaches' attentions is Spence's eye to detail, his being a student of the game, asking the right questions, as Jim Wexel points out in his article, asking the right questions, doing the right things, and then going out and performing. Look, we caveat this all the time, so it's not in pads and blah, 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 but he's doing everything right. And, you love to see that. The coaches love to see that. Al Evers doesn't want to lose him from the special team situation. But if he's a guy who needs to start inside on day one, and the fact that somebody's, using the word Patrick Willis, who Evers coached in San Francisco as a comparison, has got to put a smile on a lot of Steelers fans' face.
Yeah, and Keith Butler even left the door open, in one of those press conferences saying that, he's going to play this year at some point, And we talked about this as well, like Lamar Woodley and Lawrence Timmons did. At different points in early on as rookies, starters by no means, but definitely spot guys that are going to see some buzz. So definitely excited. I mean, this guy, when you look at his Miami film, and Mike Tomlin hit it on the head when talking about him, his see to do, not a guy that's going to burn up a stopwatch on a 40-yard dash, but his first step and his recognition of things is absolutely incredible, and that's what stuck out the most on his college film. Especially his senior season there at Miami.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about it. And guys were buzzing about him right away. And look, you look at a guy like Patrick Willis, and they're about the same size. Spence is 5'11", 3'8", 230 pounds. He's, you know, there's concern in playing the buck position that you need to be a little bit bigger than that. And they've talked about it. You know, Keith Butler's talked about it, but they clearly think enough that they, you know, I don't want to say they're rethinking this and he's going to be the starter on opening day, but the fact that they're talking about playing time and things like that, it's got to make everybody pleased with the draft choice.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So Dave, the only other thing that really we touch on is that we've been kind of talking about this Jaworski series on the quarterbacks, and I don't think the top seven are at all surprising how they finished up. But maybe just a little bit, you know, Aaron Rodgers 1, Drew Brees 2, Brady 3, and Peyton 4, and Steeler fans probably take a little bit of issue of Eli being ahead of Roethlisberger at 6 and Rivers at 7. And I think those are generally perceived as the 7 best quarterbacks in the game. Rivers obviously had a down year with the interceptions last year, even though he threw for a ton of yards, but kind of what we thought, right?
You know, people are having a little bit of issue with Eli ahead of Roethlisberger, but, you know, we talked about the deep ball the other day in that post that I did on deep passes, and Eli has definitely held his own there, especially as far as accuracy goes. So, you know, 5 and 6 may be interchangeable, but I really don't have an issue with the way Jaworski has graded out these top, what is it, 7 here with Rivers at 7. And, you know, Peyton Manning a year off of football, you know, as long as that neck holds up of his, I mean, it's hard to throw him out of the top 5. Brady's work speaks for itself. Brees and Rodgers as well, too. So I don't have any issues with that list.
Yeah. I thought the only line that I was a little amused by is he said, at number 6 on my board, my big board, Roethlisberger, who's on the cusp of becoming elite. I think he's there. I think he's there.
Yeah, you. Hey, but here's what Jaworski does say at other times during some of these breakdowns that I've seen the video of. It's all about wins and losses too, you know. And Roethlisberger definitely will get you the win. And you know he's a good fourth quarter quarterback, a guy you're not afraid to put the ball in his hands and all like that. To say he's on the cusp, he's there. It's just can he take it? You know, how much further can he go? You know, I think we both agree he hasn't reached his ceiling by any stretch of the imagination, and it'll be interesting this year to see how Todd Haley uses his assets and tries to have him get rid of the ball a little bit quicker this year as opposed to years in the past, and in an effort to keep him upright, because let's face it, injuries have hampered Roethlisberger, you know, quite a bit over the last few years. Even though he's played through them, they have hampered him.
Yep. And for those of you who are ESPN insiders, Matt Williamson, who's been on the show with us and this guy I have on the radio show, just did a big piece about 500 words on every NFL team, what they did in the offseason, looking at additions and subtractions. We had a chance to talk about it. You can check the podcast out on the ESPN 970 page, talking about what the teams in the AFC North did specifically, and the Steelers. And, you know, look, Dave, we know the Steelers are generally quiet in free agency, and they, you know, they turned the roster over a little bit. So, but they went and had such a great draft. Matt gave him a B. He gave a few teams higher grades, and there are, you know, a couple not as good. But if you're an ESPN insider, and I highly recommend for kind of $35 a year, getting the magazine and getting guys like Matt for football, Keith Law for baseball, John Hollinger for basketball, you know, I think it's money well spent. And so check that out. Some good stuff there. And, you know, we'll get a chance to talk about that some more as we take a look at teams around the AFC North as we get closer to the opening of preseason here.
Yeah, and another hot topic that we received an email on, too, is the supplemental draft takes place on Thursday. And the big talk, the player that's getting all the attention is Baylor wide receiver Josh Gordon. A lot of teams are sending it looks like his workout's going to be in Houston, in that stadium, because of weather and all today. So this is a guy, blazing speed, got some baggage with him. In fact, I think he sat out last year because of the transfer to Utah there, and because of financial reasons, he's decided to forego and enter the supplemental draft. First of all, the Steelers are not going to be participating in this supplemental draft. It would surprise me. Gordon, you know, could go. You know, there's talk of second or third round grade on him. Realistically, though, you know, maybe a fourth round, a team will give up a fourth round pick. It seems like the Cleveland Browns are mighty interested in him. I believe the Jets also have some interest in him.
Yeah, we've heard, I can't imagine at this point where they would be that Cleveland would give up a two. But, there's been rumblings that even as high as second and third round, some teams might look at this guy.
So. Well, especially when you look at Cleveland in a receiver situation. I know you're higher on Greg Little than I am, but this is a guy that evidently during this offseason, and we'll ask the beat writer about this when we get him on, still having some issues with some drops and all like that. So, they're a team that's not deep at all at wide receiver. Gordon, if it cost them a second or a third round from next year to get him, if they can handle the baggage and if they think they have, they very well could be the player with him, the team that's after him and ends up with him.
I'm sure they'd love to see him drop to the fourth round because, as you said, they missed out on the two Oklahoma State receivers when they went T. Rich at four or three or four, wherever they moved up to get him. And then they took Whedon at 22, and they were going to take Kendall. What's my Wright. Man's name? Kendall Wright. Yeah. And so the two Oklahoma State receivers were off the board and they've got to figure out what they're doing. And that,
they did draft Travis Benjamin though in the fourth, but
all right, Dave, anything before we go?
Well, a few of the other guys that are going to be evidently, possibly looked at in the supplemental draft. Boise State defensive back Quaylen Ewing. I know absolutely nothing about. Syracuse fullback Adam Harris. Iowa State offensive tackle Adrian Houghton. Carson Newman, linebacker Larry Lumpkin. Georgia defensive end Martez Robinson.
Good God, I didn't realize there were this many.
Yeah,
guys.
But I mean, for these guys to get selected would probably be a minor miracle. A lot of these guys will probably sign as free agents afterwards to a roster. So, of course, the big name to watch is Gordon, and that takes place on Thursday.
Fantastic. Well, as always, you can follow Dave on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow me at Hammer Speaks. If you want to follow my baseball account, it's at DT on Pirates. You can, I keep saying we're going to get to these questions and we're just a little tight on time. So we will definitely get to them on Friday. I appreciate the comments back about the Canton and the Hall of Fame. I think some different views about it, but good to hear from everybody on that.
And to add to that, with the Hall of Fame, a young Steeler fan was recognized as a 9 millionth visitor this past Sunday. So I'm sure that made Cleveland fans happy.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that. All right. Good stuff there. And you can follow the show. Dave, I always get these backwards. The Gmail account is
theterriblepodcast@gmail.com,
and the Twitter account is @terriblepodcast. And as always, we appreciate the donations. It's been fantastic. Thank you for all of that. You can do that by PayPal going to Dave's site steelersdepot.com. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.